I won't take but just a moment of Brother Sam's time tonight, but I would like to maybe share a few brief thoughts with you from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We read in Luke chapter 1 where the Lord sends an angel by the name of Gabriel. That's a good name for a young boy, isn't it? Gabriel means man of God, warrior of God. Sends a Gabriel to a couple of women, one older lady and one younger lady. And he sends them both with the same message that they are going to have a son. Each of them are going to have a son. And I'd like to just begin reading in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The angel visits Zacharias first and tells Zacharias that Elizabeth is going to have a child. And you remember Zacharias doesn't believe it. And so for his unbelief, he is stricken with a dumbness. He can't speak for the remainder of her pregnancy. And he was a priest. He was a priest of the Most High God, and he was stricken in a way that he couldn't speak to God's people. Some of you may not mind that so much if the preacher couldn't preach or if he wouldn't talk as much as he does. I don't know. But that just shows us a short lesson of what unbelief sometimes can do in our lives. You know, when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And we just need to believe it. It would behoove us. It would benefit us just to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. We can stand on the promises of God tonight. Isn't that a wonderful song that we sing? Well, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this same angel Gabriel was sent to another younger lady, girl. Verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Sometime look at where Galilee is on a map of Palestine. Galilee, of course, is up in the northern part of Israel. Judea is in the southern part where Bethlehem and Jerusalem is, and Samaria divides the two. And this young couple was from Galilee in a city called Nazareth. Now, you know what the Bible says about Nazareth. There were some folks one time that says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And this young lady, Mary was one of the, she wasn't anybody real special when it comes to the world's perspective. She wasn't born to anybody with any money. She didn't have any royalty in her blood. What I'm trying to tell you is that she was a nobody from a no place. And Mary is one of the most common names culturally. We have, there's about six different Marys in the New Testament that we read about. She was one of the most ordinary, commonplace, nobodies, and she was from Nowhereville. And yet the angel comes to her with the most profound message of all of human history. You know what we are tonight? We are a bunch of Marys from nowhere. We are nobodies from nowhere. And yet tonight we have the blessed privilege of hearing the most profound message of all of humanity. Amen. It's the same message. I want to notice a few quick things tonight that the angel Gabriel tells Mary, and how the things that Gabriel tells Mary coincide with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have in 2022. And the angel came unto her in verse 28 and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women." Now that word hail was a common greeting. It might be as common as when you and I drove up tonight, we might say good evening or hey, how you doing? Or this morning when we met each other, we say good morning, how you doing? Or I thought when I was every morning in the middle school classroom on the hallway, I'm meeting middle schoolers coming down the hallway and I'm saying good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'm lucky if I get a grunt. But sometimes I get a, what's up? That was a common greeting. And I don't mean to water this down to say that that's the same, because there's something special about this greeting. Hail means rejoice. The word H-A-I-L means rejoice. Do you know tonight that you and I have the biggest reason to rejoice of anybody in all the world? Not only do we have a Savior, we know who He was and we know what He did. We know the finished, we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. We know what He came to do and we know that He did it. Amen. Rejoice tonight, child of God. Thou art highly favored. That term highly favored, there's only one other place in all the New Testament, all the Bible, that that's used. And that's in Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of our will. According to the good pleasure of the preacher's will? No, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I just want to pause right there. That blows my mind that God would have a good, that it would be according to the good pleasure of His will to make me His choice. Amen. That's what the Bible says. He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, notice this next verse. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Child of God, your salvation is not in the fact that you accepted God. You and my salvation is in the concrete fact that God looked down and made us accepted. That's what this word highly favored. You know why God chose Mary? I don't. Because He's God. And He has the sovereign prerogative to choose anybody for whatever purpose He wants to choose them for. You know why God chose Gabriel? Because God is God and He's sovereign. He could have chosen any other angel that He wanted to, but He sent one angel that He chose to one virgin that He chose to have His son. You know why God chose a people? Because it was His good pleasure and sovereign prerogative to do so. Amen. Rejoice. Thou art highly favored, Mary. And the third thing that Gabriel says is, God is with thee. The Lord is with thee. You know one of the names of Jesus, of the Messiah? Way back in Isaiah chapter 7, when Isaiah is giving the prophecy of the coming Messiah, Isaiah said that His name shall be called Emmanuel. And Matthew tells us what Emmanuel means. He says, which being interpreted is God with us. Rejoice. The God of glory has seen pleasure to be with sinful people. Does that not give us reason to rejoice tonight? Thou art highly favored. I love that name, Emmanuel, God with us. The God who created the worlds and upholds all things by the word of His power. The God who the Bible says that the heavens can't even contain Him. He's higher than the heavens. And yet, where is He tonight? He's with us. That's wonderful to me. Rejoice, thou art highly favored. the Lord is with thee. And when Mary saw him, she was troubled, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now notice what the angel said. This is another piece of the gospel. The good news of the gospel hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. Notice the next thing that the angel says. Mary, fear not. You know, the gospel is a gospel of fear not. The gospel, Isaiah doesn't say, scare ye, my people, saith the Lord. The gospel says, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord your God. I remember one time, I heard a man that I really respected. He came on the radio. He was a big church preacher, speaker on the radio from Memphis, Tennessee. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he said to his congregation one time, he said, I would rather scare you into heaven than love you into hell. Well, there's so much wrong with that statement. And number one, he doesn't have anything to do with who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. But the gospel's not a gospel of fear. It's a gospel of fear not. Fear not. Why? There's several times the Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And Matthew 1 tells us again what the name Jesus, why he's called the name Jesus. Why is Jesus called Jesus? For he might save, or he will give a chance of salvation, or he'll give an opportunity for salvation. No, this same angel came to Joseph and said, fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary to be your wife, for she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now nobody doubts that, do they, in the world? No one bearing the Christian name would doubt that she brought forth a son, and that his name was Jesus. What about this last shall? For he shall save his people from their sins. Gospel hasn't changed much in 2000. It hasn't changed at all. Rejoice. Rejoice. Thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. And there's going to be a Savior named Jesus Christ the Lord. And he's going to be called Jesus because he is going to accomplish the work that his Father gave him to do. And leave nothing undone. And I love this next phrase. He shall be great. Now, if you and I were just to look at Jesus, if we could... By the way, nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Those paintings and pictures, that's not what Jesus looked like. But Jesus didn't, from outward appearance, take on the appearance of greatness. He wasn't a big Andre the Giant. He wasn't a Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, you know. You couldn't look at Jesus and say, oh boy, he's great. He didn't look great by what outward appearance, but I'm going to tell you, when Jesus spoke, there was greatness in what he said. Amen. He spoke to the blind and they were able to see. He spoke to the lame and they not only walked, but they leapt. He spoke to the dead and the dead received life again. There's greatness. Amen. In what he spoke. He wasn't born from anybody great. If you look at Mary and Joseph, they were poor. Ordinary people like you and I, but yet he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wasn't born from anybody rich, and yet he owned the cattle of 1,000 hills, and the earth and all the fullness that belongs to him. He shall be great. But I'm going to tell you, all of those things pale in comparison to the greatness that your Savior is when he bowed his head and said, it is finished. He was great in the salvation, the work of salvation that his Father gave him to do. This prophecy, he shall be great. We can look back at Jesus' life and say, he was great, and he is great today. He's with us. Rejoice. thou art highly favored. You have a Savior named Jesus. He shall be great, and he's with you, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm thankful tonight that we're not waiting for that kingdom to come. It's here.
Amen.
We're not waiting for a 1,000-year reign for Jesus to come up and set up a kingdom. We're in it tonight. We're part of it tonight. And he is ruling and reigning as the king of his kingdom forever. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He's ruling tonight. Aren't you glad? And Mary asked in her heart, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel told her that that night he had visited with Elizabeth, and she was also going to bring forth a son. And then he says this, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Rejoice, child of God. You are highly favored. You have a Savior named Jesus. And the only reason he can be called Jesus is because he's the Savior. And he's with you. And he's a King. Blessed be his name tonight. May God bless you as well.